We think that if I just control my weight, or if I just control my health, or if I do all of the things, then I will be impervious to other people's judgment, and therefore I'll be impervious to my own judgment, potentially, that we can put those thoughts aside, but it never happens.
Welcome to Is This All There Is? The podcast for high-achieving women who have checked all the boxes and are left feeling overwhelmed, unfulfilled, and stuck. I'm your host, Dr. Amanda Ryan Fear, and in each episode, we'll use principles of cognitive psychology, feminist theory, and expert mindset coaching to help you build the confidence and clarity you need to accomplish whatever it is you want, even if you don't yet know what that is. Welcome to episode 19 of Is This All There Is? This is the fourth and final in a series on having it all on your own terms, the energy draining habits you need to give up in order to do so. So over the past few weeks, we have talked about all of these ingrained habits that really do nothing for us besides sap our energy and make it really hard to know what it is that we truly want from life. So what I'm talking about are people pleasing, procrastination, and perfectionism. So last week, I dipped our toes a little bit into perfectionism, what it is, how it shows up in our lives, and gave some coaching tips on what to do about it. This week, we're going to dive deeper into perfectionism with a special guest. So Elizabeth Sherman is a master certified health and life coach who helps women in perimenopause and menopause manage their symptoms, as well as all of the other stressful demands that seem to accompany this season of life. Elizabeth hosts a weekly podcast called Done With Dieting, a podcast for the woman who, in spite of all these demands, has been socialized to focus on her appearance, selflessly do for others, and in doing so, becomes the best supporting actress in the movie of her own life. Elizabeth is a Chicago native, but now conducts her coaching business as an expat in Mexico and meets with her clients through video, focusing on the areas of health, eating, moving, stress, and sleep management, body image, and how we think about them through a DEI and feminist lens. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here and to talk about perfectionism because it's something I deal with myself, and it's something that I work with a lot of clients about because women, we like to have that armor, right? We like to avoid judgment. And the way that we do that is through being perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. So why don't you tell us just a little bit more about yourself and the women that you work with?
Yeah. So I started out as a weight loss coach, and I think that that actually says a lot because I deal with women all the time who are like, I have to have the perfect body. And, you know, as we get older, we kind of give up that fantasy of needing the bodybuilder, chiseled abs type of stuff. And we're just like, you know what? I just want to fit into my clothes. But we still have these ideas of what the perfect body is for us. And I think that the other piece to that is that even though we may not cognitively like think about, I want the perfect body, what happens is when we get to our goal weight, if we've been dieting, then our brain starts coming up with all of these reasons why what we're doing isn't good enough. And so we constantly live in this life, this mindset of what I'm doing isn't good enough, which we think then, and this goes to perfectionism perfectly, is we think that once we are able to do all of the things, then finally our inner critic, our voice inside of our heads will stop beating ourselves up. And so what I do a lot with my clients is I say, okay, so if you want to, for example, eat ice cream with your kids or your grandkids someday and not beat yourself up, what we need to do is we need to start practicing doing that now. Because if you think that the number on the scale, or once you get to this ideal, whatever that ideal is in the future, If you think that it's magically going to go away at that point, then unfortunately, you're sorely mistaken, because your brain is always going to come up with, well, yeah, but if this was better, then we'd be happy, right? Or then we'd be able to avoid judgment. And so that's kind of how I work with my clients, is we figure out what their goals are. And I think that a lot of us walk around, at least I know that I did when I started this whole process, I had no idea how mean I was to myself in there. And so being able to point that out and tease it out and become aware of the things that are going on in our head that we're saying to ourselves that we would never say to anyone else, and that if someone said them to us, that we wouldn't put up with it.
Yeah, absolutely. It amazes me just how unconscious that thinking is, that line of thinking is, where it just is kind of the normal soundtrack of our lives to beat ourselves up and just be super mean to ourselves. And once we start becoming aware of it, we're like, oh my gosh, no wonder I feel crappy all the time.
Right. Right. And so we think that if I just control my weight, or if I just control my health, or if I do all of the things, then I will be impervious to other people's judgment, and therefore I'll be impervious to my own judgment, potentially, that we can put that those thoughts aside, but it never happens.
Yeah, it's so true. So Elizabeth and I have a coach in common. We both have worked with Carl Lowenthal over the years. And one of the most poignant things that I remember Cara saying was something along the lines of, like, the worst thing that will ever happen is you'll think a mean thought about yourself. And it's so true. And we project that onto other people, right? We're like, oh my gosh, everyone thinks I'm so fat and so dumb and so ugly. And everyone knows I don't know what I'm doing. But really, it's those are the thoughts that we have about ourselves. And that's what hurts the most.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, you know, we can talk about having your own back. I think that it probably belongs more at the end of our episode, but we can talk about it here, which is the idea that it's a three-part process, having your own back. And it's actually really important when it comes to changing your relationship with yourself. The first part is not committing to anything that you can't follow through on. The second piece is following through on the commitments to yourself. And then the third piece, which is what we're talking about right now, is really showing yourself grace and not having that negative conversation with yourself, not being mean to yourself on the other side of you not being able to do it all. So I think that that's actually really important. So if you hear me or hopefully Amanda talk about having your own back, that's what we're really talking about, is being nice to yourself on the other side of things not working out your way, because life is not perfect, right? And so we are human. We need to live in a human world.
Yeah, I know that was a game changer for me. I was first introduced to this work when I was an assistant principal, and I remember just the emotion, like, just the energy that it would take going in to run meetings with either a group of teachers or a family or whatever. And I would have that constant talk track in the back of my mind, like, you're screwing it up, they don't understand what you're saying, all of the things. And when I learned that I could just be nice to myself no matter what happened in the meeting, like, if I could just commit to being nice to myself once I walked out of that door, I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is amazing. This is like life-changing work.
Yeah. Well, and I love that, because that's actually, when we're talking about self-compassion, because that's what we're talking about right now, is being nice to yourself. And a lot of women believe, like, we really believe, or I used to believe, that if I was compassionate with myself, then I wouldn't be driven. That if I was compassionate with myself, then I would be complacent and I wouldn't want to change. And first of all, that's a bunch of BS that our brain tells us. But if we can actually, I almost talk about, like, disassociating yourself with yourself. So, like, we all have a daughter or a son or a sister or a best friend who we love 100%. And so the way that we kind of teach having compassion with yourself is imagine that your best friend or your daughter, whoever, was telling you the problem that you're having right now. So, yeah, I really, you know, conducted that meeting and I screwed up. I said these things instead of those things. And I really should have been more confident. Like, what would you say to that person? You would probably give them some grace. And so when you think about, well, okay, so how would I handle this with a friend? Then being able to turn that onto yourself and understanding that the negative self-talk is really optional. You don't have to do that.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
It is.
Okay, let's back up a little bit because I don't know that we actually defined perfectionism, and not that we necessarily need to. I mean, last week's podcast, I talked about how perfectionism is really how we notice that gap between how our lives are and how we want them to be. Mm-hmm. But we find ourselves lacking. And it's not so much like, oh, in a year, here's what I'd like my life to be, and setting goals and doing personal development work because it's fun, and why not do fun things with our lives? But it's more of another reason to beat ourselves up. And so it's that gap between where we are and where we think we should be. But I'm curious, I mean, that's just my definition. I'm curious how you would define it and how, if you can think of any examples of how you see it showing up in clients.
Yeah. So I think that perfectionism is actually, as I said it in the introduction, but our armor that we use to deflect any judgment or vulnerability on our side. And so what happens with a lot of women, so first of all, I think women are really not nice to one another. We really do not have a sisterhood and a general concept. And what that means is that we really don't have other women's backs because we don't have our own, because we are so mean to ourselves. And so how can you possibly have another woman's back when you don't have your own? And what I mean by that is, let's look at all of the judgments about parenting, about going, how women show up at work, like all of these judgments that we have about other women, their bodies, how they are doing it wrong. And what's happening there is we're also having those same judgments on ourselves. And so what we think is that if I just do everything perfectly, if I just say everything perfectly, then I'm going to not be the target of judgment. And that's a societal issue. It's not you as a person. If you are, you know, feeling that judgment, or if you are judging others, just be aware that you've been socialized to be that way. And now that you know, once you can start, you know, seeing that, then you can start to take steps to avoid it. And so, like, I'm going to recommend a couple different books on this podcast episode. I hope it's okay.
I love books.
The first book that I'm going to recommend is called White Women. And I forget what the subtitle is, but it's something about what we don't know, or what we know about our own internalized racism and how to get through it. It's by two authors, Regina Jackson and Syra Rao. And the first chapter in the book is called Your Niceness is Killing Us, because, and I don't know what the demographic is of your podcast, Amanda, but I'm assuming that it's probably mostly white women. And so white women, have been taught from a very young age to be nice, to play nice. And when I looked up the definition of nice, it was like pleasant and easy to get along with. And the one that killed me was satisfactory. And I was just like, oh my God, I do not want to live a nice, satisfactory life. I don't want to be perceived as satisfactory. Yet, so many of us are unwilling to speak up about things that we see, like someone else being treated unfairly, because what happens, like, right? So think about, you're at holiday dinner and Uncle Jerry says something racist. If you point that out, then all of a sudden you're the one who is upsetting, you know, the holiday dinner, not Uncle Jerry, right? So what we do is we let it go and we become nice. And so what happens is we're nice, but we're not kind. And so many of us are not kind to ourselves. And I've gotten a little off track here, but so we see this judgment within our society. And what happens is we all aspire to be the good woman. Like, I think that that is so true for so many of us. I just want to be good. I want to be the good wife. I want to be the good daughter. I want to be the good mother. I want to be the good friend. I want to be the good boss. I want to be the good employee. And so what happens then is we put other people's needs before our own, and before our own health even. And what happens is we can't handle it all. And therefore, when someone asks us, hey, will you make, you know, 10 dozen cookies for the bake sale? We say yes in our heads. We say yes. Actually, we hear it coming out of our mouths. And then we're just like, what the hell did I just do? Because then you're on the hook for it, because that's non-confrontational. It's very nice. But then we'll do something either on the other side to manipulate our way out of it, or we will be completely resentful making the cookies for the bake sale. And so we're not being kind to ourselves. And so in 2023, I realized that I really needed more kindness. And how that came about was, you know, you're a leadership coach. And so when I was having some problems with some of my employees, I shouldn't say problems, but just things were coming up with my employees and I wasn't confronting them. And I wasn't confronting them because I didn't want to be perceived as the bitch, which is a fear that many of us have. And it was only through coaching that I realized that I could advocate for myself and be kind at the same time. Be kind to myself, be kind to the other person, right? We don't have to be a bitch. We can actually show a lot of kindness and compassion. And so when we can be kind and have compassion, so going back full circle to our talk about compassion, we can understand that we are human and that every challenge is actually a learning opportunity. And we can't become experts or be good at something until we've been a beginner. And when we're a beginner, we're always going to make a lot of mistakes. And so really being able to hold space for ourselves, make mistakes, but then also going back to having your own back, being able to love yourself, being able to give yourself the compassion and kindness to be able to get up and do it again. Because you know what? Honestly, no one else sees it as a mistake. No one else is thinking about you. And so really kind of thinking about it that way. Yeah. I know. That's so a lot. I just said a lot.
That was a lot. My brain keeps going back to resentment cookies. Nobody wants to eat resentment cookies.
No.
Nobody does. It's so true. And a thought that I had is perfectionism is so much about looking at yourself from the outside in. And the work that we do as coaches is so much about seeing what's going on the inside and listening to that and being true to that and living from the inside out. And it makes me think of kind of at the apex of my perfectionism when I had just gone back to work after my 3-month leave after having my daughter, and we had a nanny coming in, and basically we were paying her as much as I was making in my career as a teacher. And just the thoughts that I was having about, like, should I leave my job? Should I should I do all these things? But I had this vision of myself as the career woman, right? And so investing all of this money in a nanny to come in to take care of my daughter. And we'd put our daughter to bed. My husband and I were still up, and I was cleaning the kitchen. I was roasting a chicken. I was doing all these things because I didn't want the nanny to think I didn't have it all together, right? I wanted the nanny, who was actually a friend of mine that I'd known for years, I wanted her to be like, oh my God, how do you do it all, right? Like, first of all, the nanny brought her own lunch. I didn't need to roast her a chicken. But I just remember thinking, like, I was scrubbing behind the sink. This was like at 10 o'clock at night. I was exhausted. I was scrubbing behind the sink because I was like, I don't want her to know how we live. And that seems like perfectionism 10x, right? Like just really trying to control other people's opinions of you and this image that perhaps you have of yourself or how you think you should be, and just exhausting yourself trying to live up to that image.
Well, and the other piece to that is that when we are practicing perfectionism, when we are perfect, yes, we're trying to avoid judgment. But at the same time, what's happening is that we're avoiding connection and vulnerability with other humans, which is what all of us want. Like, I have this client, and she's a pillar in her community. Her husband is a very wealthy businessman, and so she has to go to benefits and parties, and, you know, she feels like she needs to be perfect. And what's happened in that process is that she is not approachable. She puts on this bulletproof armor where other people don't want to show their vulnerabilities to her because they think that she's going to judge them, when in truth, she's just trying to avoid judgment herself. And so what happens is when we are too perfect, we're really not connecting with other humans.
Yeah, that's so true. This is what I continue to learn in my own life over and over and over again.
Yeah. But I wanted to go back to your definition of perfectionism, because there's a really good book that I want to recommend for that too. There's a book by Dan Sullivan and Benjamin Hardy. It's called The Gap in the Game.
Love that one.
And the whole premise behind the book is that whenever we set out on a goal, we have this idea of what the goal is going to encompass. So, you know, going back to weight loss for just a second, we have this idea of, oh, I want to get to 150 pounds, 175 pounds, whatever the goal is. Now, oftentimes, or in weight loss, we actually have a specific number that we're going to get to. And so as we track our progress towards that goal, what we're doing is we're living in what they call the gap, the space between where we are and where we want to go. Now, for things like being a success or being a good boss or a good wife or whatever, that goal becomes a little bit nebulous, right? It becomes a little fuzzy. Like, how do you know that you are a good partner or a good mom? Like, right? But yet we seem to think that, well, once I've done all of these things, then I checked all of these boxes, right? Then all of a sudden I will be that person. And so what happens is, as we move along on the journey, our inner critic, our brain, will actually change the goalposts. The goalposts will move. Now, when it comes to weight loss, once we get to the 175, the brain's like, yeah, but. So it'll be happy for like 15 seconds, right? And then it'll come up with something else. But when we can start to live in what he calls the gain, which is how much we've learned, how much we've progressed from where we've started, then we can actually be happier, and we can give ourselves so much more grace too. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so true. I love that book. I don't have anything else to say about that though. I'm out. No, it's true, because you're right. I think that's where a lot of imposter syndrome comes in, because we want the job, we get the job, people tell us we're good at the job, but our brain is still like, no, you really suck at this job. And I think thinking about that in terms of the gap and the gain, like we're totally in the gap of yeah, but I'm not doing it perfectly, right? Like, I'm doing it. Somebody must have liked me to hire me, but everyone is going to find out that I can't actually do it.
Right. Well, and I think that that actually goes back to this good girl syndrome, is that we have expectations for ourselves of what it means to be the good wife, the good daughter, the good boss, the good employee. And so therefore, you know, we have this set of expectations that we didn't even decide on. They were given to us by society. So like, for example, the good boss makes her employees chicken for lunch the next day, right?
Right.
Like, who decided that?
Right. That is one of my favorite things to do with clients, when they start telling themselves like, oh, I'm such a bad manager, I should be doing all of these things, I'm such a bad wife, whatever, is I ask, okay, well, let's make a criteria for a good manager. And they're like, and it's hard to come up with actual concrete things. But meanwhile, as we go throughout our days, our brains are like, good manager wouldn't have done that.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's really being able to tease out what is the manual that we have for ourselves in each of those different roles. And when I talk about a manual, have you talked about a manual before?
I haven't. I was going to ask you if you could talk about it a little bit.
Yeah. So a manual is something that Amanda and I learned within our coaching certification, which is all of us walk around the world with expectations that we have of how we should be, how others should be, and behave in the world. And when people don't meet the expectations that we have in our rule book, then we get irritated or disappointed or whatever it is. And so really being able to understand that a lot of the suffering that we have in life is really because the expectations that we have for ourselves and others and the way that the world works is just there. Because so often we don't even realize that we have these expectations going in. People should be good drivers. And again, to that point, some of these rules that we have for the way that the world works are okay. It's okay to have expectations, but understanding when the expectations aren't serving us. And so really being able to become aware of what our thoughts are about ourselves and others in the process.
So as you know, this has been a series on habits and kind of ingrained ways of being that suck our energy and keep us really from being able to create life on our own terms. And so I've talked about people pleasing and procrastination, and now we're talking about perfectionism, but I know that all three are really intertwined. So I'm curious your thoughts, especially on perfectionism and people pleasing and how you see that showing up.
Yeah, good question. So actually, in 2022, I decided that I was going to stop people pleasing. I don't know if that's actually possible, but it was a goal of mine to become aware of when I was doing things that were expected of me versus what I truly wanted. And it was really fascinating to see all of the different areas of my life that really touched on. It touched on my marriage. It touched on my relationship with food. It touched on my relationship with alcohol. I noticed that I was doing a lot of drinking to make other people happy, which sounds silly, but like to be part of like the group, and again, deflecting judgment, right? Because like, what's wrong with Elizabeth that she doesn't want to drink? Like, what's wrong with drinking? I drink, it's okay, right? So really being able to understand what are the things that I want versus what are the things that are expected of me. And I think that for so many women, we really when we fulfill these good roles, the good wife, the good daughter, the good partner, that we really don't pay attention to what it is that we want, because what the other person wants is more important. And that's where people pleasing comes in, because we want to control other people's viewpoints of us. We want to manipulate other, and manipulate seems like a really harsh word here, but that's actually what it is. We're trying to manipulate other people's opinions of us, because again, if other people like us or approve of what we're doing, then we can avoid judgment in the same process. So that's kind of how people pleasing and perfectionism kind of tie in together, because both of them are really trying to deflect judgment. And I actually have a story about this recently. So I live in Mexico, and every so often we go out on a yacht day. We gather our friends and we charter a like 50-foot yacht, and we cruise along the Caribbean water, and it's just amazing. And we have tons of fun. We spend all day out there. And we usually go with this core group of friends. And here I am trying to figure out how to say this so that you, the listener, will think that I am a good person. So my husband and another friend of ours organized this yacht day. I had really nothing to do with it. And they did not invite a close couple friend of ours. And when she saw on social media that we had done the yacht day without her, she texted me. And she was like, "You did yacht day without me?" And immediately, just like I did with you right now, I started texting her back. And I was like, "Oh, it wasn't my fault. It was my husband and this other guy's fault. Like, blame them." I wanted to deflect judgment because I wanted to be seen as the good friend. Like, I wouldn't do that, right? And so we talked earlier about throwing other people under the bus. I was willing to throw my husband under the bus and this other friend so that my friend wouldn't think badly of me, that I wasn't a bad friend. And so these are the types of things that we do so that we can avoid feeling negative feelings about ourselves. It's okay for her not to be invited to this party. And that doesn't mean that I'm necessarily a bad friend in the process. Still working through this one. It still stings, but it's something that we can live in. Yeah, is being imperfect humans. Because we are human. And the truth is that there's always going to be someone who's not going to be invited to your party. You have to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about how resonant that story is for me and for, I'm sure, so many of the people listening to this right now, of how quick we are to deflect. Like, oh no, it wasn't me. I'm still a good person. I'm still a good friend. And especially, I noticed my inclination to do that in management of like, oh no, I didn't do it. It was this guy who's like three people ahead of me.
Yes. Yes. We do that all the time, don't we? We deflect blame because we don't want to feel the negative emotion of, well, that goes back to our inner critic, right? Because the inner critic is the one that's like, you fucked up.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't have done that. I should have advocated more to my husband to invite this couple, right? That's what my brain was telling me, that it's my fault because I didn't do what a good friend should have done, which was include everybody.
Yeah. And then we get into that mental and emotional gymnastics that so many women do of thinking three steps ahead of, well, how could this go horribly wrong? What's my role in it? What are all the things that need to happen? What's plan A, B, C, and D? But then also thinking like three steps behind of, oh, what should I have done differently? So we're like constantly berating ourselves on both ends for screwing it up, both past and future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's exhausting.
It really is. And so there's actually a tool that I love to use. And are you familiar with the board of directors?
No.
The board of directors is, we all have one. It's just that many of us have a board of directors in our heads that we have not appointed. So it's your mother's probably on the board of directors, maybe an ex-boyfriend from when you were a teenager, maybe a mean girlfriend, like all of these people whose voices we hear in our heads whenever we do something and they tell us that we're doing it wrong or that we're not doing it good enough or whatever it is. We should look a certain way. We should dress a certain way. And so a board of directors is actually kicking those people off. You are the CEO of your life and you get to appoint anyone you want to your board of directors. And so these people that you're appointing can be alive or they can be dead. They can be fictional or they can be real. And so what I love about the board of directors exercise is the idea that when we're making decisions, that we make decisions and we kind of check in with one of the people that's on our board of directors. So, you know, as coaches, Amanda, I'm sure that many of our clients put us on their board of directors. They're like, oh, what would Amanda do in this situation? How would she handle it? Or what would she tell me to do in this situation? And so I have appointed Chad to my board of directors. Chad is a random white dude who's completely entitled. And Chad is faceless, but we all know Chad, right? We know Chad because Chad is just our brother, our partner, maybe just our coworker, someone that we know. And so when I think about making decisions, I like to think to myself, what would Chad do? What would Chad do? WWCD has actually been co-opted by a woman, kind of like, what would Jesus do? She co-opted it and she's done great work on the internet. I think it's whatwouldchaddo.com or something like that if you want to check it out. She has t-shirts and swag if you're interested in that. But it's really actually very helpful because when I want to do something and I feel the shame, I feel the self-doubt, I feel the judgment, the perceived judgment from fictional people, I ask myself, what would Chad do? And when I think about what Chad would do and do that action, I understand that all of that self-doubt, all of that confusion, all of that intrepidation is probably socialized. It's socialized learning that I have taken on over my years. And so this is one of the tools that I used in 2022 when I wanted to stop people pleasing. I would constantly ask myself, well, if I was, you know, a white dude, what would I do? And then I chose that action. And it was really uncomfortable, but it's really helped me because it's allowed me to see where my decisions are in socialization versus where they are in like alignment. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so good. First, I want a WWCD bracelet because I think that would be amazing. And second, you know, Chad doesn't bake resentment cookies.
Exactly. He just says, no, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, he's like, I don't want to bake cookies. Why would I do that?
This is why the PTA doesn't ask men to do it because men are going to be like, yeah, no, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we've talked about a few tools, including that one. I love that one. I can't wait to appoint my board of directors. We've talked about a few tools to get past perfectionism or to move. We never like fully get rid of it, but to move past it, to own it and keep going. What else would you recommend? What else can you think of to help listeners?
I think that really understanding that we are human beings. And by nature of being human beings, we are not perfect. Like, it's just impossible. And so when you make a mistake, really understanding the humanity that is you. One of our coaches and mentors, Brooke, she actually said something once that just really landed for me, which is, remember that you did not create yourself. You were created. You were created by the universe or God or whatever supreme being you believe in or don't believe in. Maybe you were created by the circumstances that have led you to where you are today. And so therefore, you are not wrong. Because I think that so many of us walk around believing that there's something wrong with us, that we are not enough. And so when you can understand and really feel in your bones that you are the way that you are today because the universe made you this way, and add on top of that, your unique set of circumstances. And so therefore, you can really just marvel at and explore what it is that is you. And there's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to shapeshift and get people to like you, because you are enough as you are. And wouldn't you rather have someone love you for who you really are than who you are not, which is what we do with people pleasing?
Yeah, that's pretty revolutionary right there. Mm-hmm. Nice. I love it. All right. Well, any other thoughts on perfectionism, people pleasing?
I think we've done it all. Yeah. It's just an ongoing process. And the more that you can become aware of when you're doing these behaviors and trying to stop it, tuning into who you are, what you want, then you'll be able to, I really think, live the authentic life that many of us want. Yeah. I don't know that anyone has been on their deathbed thinking about, God, I really should have made those resentment cookies.
I should have baked that chicken.
I know.
That nobody
ate. I should have cleaned more.
Right. Well, thank you so much, Elizabeth. This has been such a treat. So tell listeners where they can find you, how they can work with you, all of the things.
Yeah. So thank you for having me. This has been so much fun. So you can find me on my website. My website is elizabethsherman.com. You can also find me on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram, I am Done With Dieting Podcast. And on Facebook, I am Total Health by Eliz. And let's see, what do I have going on right now? I have, you know, one of my favorite things for folks, if you are working on your health, is I have a great guide, which is called The 8 Basic Habits That Healthy People Do. And it's really just the 8 basic things that if you do these things, you're probably going to be healthier than most people you know. And because so many of us like try to do all of these fancy things, and that's why we can't get our health habits together. And so it's really a fantastic guide, and it comes along with a great email sequence too. So I'm just going to plug that. But I'm also going to plug my podcast, which is Done With Dieting Podcast, where I talk about a lot of these things as well as menopause and perimenopause. So
sweet.
There.
Well, I will put links to all those things, plus the books that you recommended, in the show notes so that people can come find you.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you.
If you found this podcast helpful, head on over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. Go ahead and send it to a friend while you're at it. Thank you. My mission in life is to liberate women from the limiting beliefs that are holding them back from living their fullest, most joyful lives. If you'd like to learn more about my work, check out my website at www.amandaryanfear.com, where you can find links to join my free private Facebook group and to learn more about working with me.